To celebrate our centenary, as we look forward to the next 100 years of innovation and driving enjoyment, BMW are offering a complimentary 5-year or 50,000 mile service inclusive package with MOT Protect on any new BMW ordered and registered between the 1st and 30th of June. The birthday is ours, the gift is yours. Visit your nearest BMW centre. Retail customers only, excludes BMW M and I models. Terms and conditions apply. Visit bmw.co.uk/service-inclusive for details. Participating retailers only.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the game. I'm Russ Cohen. We may have Nico Riesgo. Nico, are you there?
Russ Cohen, my man. I'm right here.
Well, because we're having some really bad storms here in southern Jersey, and my power went out literally a minute before the show.
Like, oh, wow. No joke. It must be the Clinton after effects. I mean, she just dominated yesterday. You're nothing but Clinton all over the nation. So
that's what's blowing through. So we're happy to have the show, and we'll get rolling right away just because you never know. All right, so let's talk about the New York Mets, who I really was unhappy with yesterday. I could sort of tell that they were going to drop a doubleheader. And you get this feeling when you see a team that doesn't know how to play small ball, that has great pitching and sort of sits back on that great pitching, and everybody's swinging for the fences, and nobody knows how to get a runner in, and a perfect example was, you know, Steven Matz has been one of the great pitchers in the league this year. Just fantastic. Pitching a lights-out game, and this kid hits a triple with one out, and they can't get him in. They have no idea how to get him in. They leave him stranded at third. I mean, he pitches 5 innings, strikes out 8, gives up 2 runs. He loses. I mean, it's horrible.
It is horrible, and he's playing against a good team. The Pirates are a great team and a great franchise with great pitching. I mean, the Mets are not going to walk through the National League. I mean, they're going to have to play ball every single night. And the Walker thing, I think everybody was kind of like the Walker homecoming back into Pittsburgh, and it kind of maybe took things away. And, you know, I'm not sure. Walker's been a big pickup for them, but I'm not sure losing Murphy for Walker was worth it.
Yeah, I mean, that one's going to take a while to really tell, you know, and you might be right in the end. I don't think that's what's killing them right at the moment. I think what's killing them right at the moment is, even though this team appears to be deeper than it was last year, again, we're looking at close to July and we're still without David Wright. And they're still without a very deep bench. And so at the end of the day, those two things and the inability to play small ball, to, you know, to get a hit, to move a runner along, to steal a base, those things are killing this team in the sense that they're throwing away wins this time of the year. I mean, look, they're right in it. We know they're in it. They're going to be in it all year with the pitching they have. But when you have guys like DeGrom, in the second game, goes 6 innings, 3 runs, 9 strikeouts, doesn't walk a batter, can't win the game. I mean, you know, you can't win that way.
No, look at the players they're putting out on the field. Granderson, I mean, he's hitting .204. I mean, his heyday, he's leading off. His heyday has come and gone. He should be out.
No. I mean, look, he still hits home runs. You got to give him that. I mean, he's got 10 homers.
He's not the future, is what I'm saying. New York has got a transition.
True.
They may not make it even to the playoffs. I mean, it's a long season. They've gotten a good start. They've got the pitching, but I don't think they have the everyday players to make the like you said, the small ball. They need to manufacture runs. The guys are getting old. Granderson has a little bit of speed, but he's only hitting .204. He's not getting on base enough to be the leadoff hitter. He's not sparking enough interest there at the top. Looney, to pick up the first baseman, he's a good veteran, but I think his time is done. I mean, they're picking up these veterans. I don't think he's going to be the answer for them.
They're doing things on the cheap. I mean, Looney's hitting .296. Looney's hitting .296. The problem is, in the second game of doubleheader, because you're resting some guys, you're hitting them fifth. He shouldn't be hitting fifth. There's just no way around it. And if people are wondering why you know, Michael Conforto is struggling a bit. Well, it's because Wright and Duda aren't in the lineup. And the Mets haven't replaced those guys with anything that sort of puts any kind of fear into pitchers. Loney's a good hitter, but no pitcher fears him.
No. They fear the single. You know, he's going to get a very hard single. I mean, and like I said, someone like the Mets, I mean, where they're at right now, I don't see Loney. I don't see Flores on the bench. I just don't see the Granderson. I don't see anything in their lineup that's going to scare me other than their pitching.
Right. And look, we know pitching will get you into the playoffs, but unless something really changes for the Mets via a trade or, again, bringing up maybe their best prospect, I mean, I'm tired of talking about it, so I'm not going to mention it anymore, but they're going to have a problem. And so, like, this is something where this is a season now coming off of last year where there's expectations where there weren't before, and so far they're underperforming on those expectations. I mean, again, teams would kill to be in the spot they're in, but you know what? At the end of the day, the Marlins shouldn't be this close to them. That's my feeling.
Right, and the Nationals. The Nationals, with their success, is not really having the best to start. They should be right there, but like you said, I think it's evident that Mets just don't have it, and they're going to slowly but surely fall behind. Like I said, it's going to be a scramble for them to even make it with the playoffs, even with their pitching.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so let's move on. One of the really good stories in the league, and something that was really sort of baffling when it was happening, how did Mark Trumbo ever get out of California? That's what I want to know, because at the end of the day, we're looking at a guy, and again, the Orioles always make these pickups. He's got 20 home runs and 224 at-bats. Now, for some guys, we would say, that seems a little fishy, but it doesn't seem fishy for him because he's always had amazing power.
Trumbo is a beast, and for the Angels to let him go, I mean, the people that are making the decisions for the Angels, it's been a long time coming. They need to just scrap a lot of things that the Angels are doing. I mean, Trumbo has been their little baby. He's been a beast. He's come up with Trout. They've had a homegrown, and for them to let their homegrown talent like Trumbo just leave and go hit 20 home runs for another team, I'm telling you, the Angels need those 20 home runs right now, and they probably
do
competing there in the West. But believe me, there's a big hole in that Angel lineup, and his name is Mark Trumbo.
You know, and the funny thing is if the Angels do lose Mike Trout, this is one that they can look back on and say, we shouldn't have lost both these guys. Now we've got nothing.
Now we got nothing. They had the M&Ms, and they had a future to build behind. They had power. They had a little bit of speed. And those were the future of the Angels to build around. I mean, what they were thinking, I got no clue.
I mean, basically, the Orioles get a guy who's 30 years old, who's always been a beast of a home run hitter. Yes, he's had his moments where things have tailed off or he's had injuries, but at the end of the day, he's always been that. And the Orioles are leading the East, and honestly, they deserve to be.
They do. I mean, there's really not much competition there in the East for them. I mean, they should run away with it. I mean, they just got talent throughout that whole lineup. Trumbo's just gravy. I mean, they had the best lineup last year, and then they added a guy named Trumbo, and now they've just simply got the best of the best. I don't see anybody really staying with them in the East.
Well, I mean, Boston's right there with them. I mean, Boston's only a half game out, and, you know, they've got a nice story, too, with Jackie Bradley Jr. I mean, that's a great story for a lot of reasons, and right now he's actually the leading vote getter for the AL, and I think that's cool because, again, he's a great player. He's a kid out of Richmond, sitting 321. He's got 5 steals, 15 doubles, 9 homers, 38 RBIs, plays the field great. This is a really good story for the Red Sox.
Absolutely. The Red Sox, I forgot all about the Red Sox, that they were in the East. That's going to be the battle all year long with the Orioles. The Red Sox, they're playing phenomenal. They've got the leadership of Dave Dombrowski, and they've got the players on the field, and they've got pitching. They've got everything. This Betts kid is on fire. He's absolutely turned into, I would say, the top 10 players in baseball right now. He gets on base. He scores runs. He's got speed. He's got electricity. He's someone, like I said, if he was on the Mets, He was on the Dodgers. I mean, he scares me. He's got speed. He's got power. He plays defense. He's a monster, and the Red Sox got him. He's a superstar. And then they've got Xander Bogaerts. He's another superstar. Mm-hmm. They've got players. Dave Ortiz is going out with a bang. You want to talk about Kobe Bryant going out with 60 points. How about Ortiz going out with 60 homers? I mean,
Nico, sorry. That's you know, if that happens, that's raising a lot of eyebrows. I'm sorry. Based on his past, that's people are not going to be as wowed by that unless you live in Boston. I got to be honest.
Well, you know what? He deserves it. I mean, he's proven to be one of the best in the game. I mean, and he's having one of his best years, and he's got one of his best teams. You know, I wouldn't doubt seeing the Red Sox in the championship. You know,
I'm just gonna say
they got everything.
I'll say it like this: guys don't generally have their best years at the age of 40, and that goes for any guy in any sport. And we'll just see. We'll see how the year shakes out. But this is a little fishy. That's all I could say.
You know, what are they going to do? Fine him 160 games next year?
I'm just saying though. This is the problem in the game right now. When you get a guy like this, who had a problem before, and now you're looking at him and you're like, how does he have 16 homers already? How does he have 55 RBIs? He might eclipse his 108 of last year. You know, how is this possible? And it raises questions. That's all. And I'm not saying it's fair. I'm just saying this is the reality.
It is the reality. And then you look at the pitchers now, the dominant Arrieta and things like that. All the speculation. And, you know, the steroids, they just get more – they get better and better as far as masking them. And it's harder to detect. And, you know, they got topical now creams, or it's like it's hard to really even penetrate your blood. Stream so these athletes are
getting
some amazing stuff.
The guy's hit 519 homers. He's driven in over 1600 runs. He's going to probably drive in somewhere in the neighborhood of 1700 and change. Those are great numbers. But at the end of the day, I'm not putting him in the Hall of Fame if I vote.
He's never been proven to do anything. It's always been spectacle. But everyone, I think, over 500 is on the list nowadays. I mean, anyone over 500 home runs, it's like they're in the era of where, you know, that's where the players are today. To get to that level, you've got to be doing something over the top.
No, not everybody. I mean, look, Albert Pujols has never been mentioned for anything. So if he's never mentioned for anything.
He's been speculated, and he's definitely been speculated. He was speculated out of the Cardinals, out of St. Louis, and he probably should have never left St. Louis. But I mean, it was really going. There was a lot of chatter about Albert Pujols.
There was chatter, but there was never a failed drug test. Ortiz has that following him.
Wow, I didn't know Ortiz failed the drug test.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at the article from last year, and even David Ortiz. You know, basically is haunted by this, and he gets taunted, and you know, and that's the way it is.
Did he serve a suspension?
No, he did not get a suspension. Let's see. In 2009, 6 years after every major leaguer was granted confidentiality to participate in a suspicionless drug test survey, this is why he wasn't suspended. The privacy agreement was selectively violated, and Ortiz became one of four players who were exposed as having failed the 2003 screening. Nearly 100 others failed and remained anonymous. This is why he hasn't been suspended, but it's out there. And this, you know, this article comes out from the Boston Globe. So, you know, if people want to say it's not real and it's not credible, it is. And so this is, you know,
That was the big hunter. That was the one where that was kind of leaked, exposed to everybody. Hey, Rod, who else was on that list?
I don't know, but the idea was, since it was a deal that it was going to remain anonymous, they couldn't suspend them. They can't do anything about it. But since it got leaked, we know about it. Like, that's basically the issue there.
Right, okay.
So, and that's, you know, for those people that always want to say, you know, hey, it's not true. And here was his quote. His quote was, I was taking whatever supplements were good at the time, stuff that everybody was using that would sustain me in my workouts. So, okay, you know, you could say that, and that's fine, but we know. And so that's why, you know, we're going to look at these numbers. I'm not, trust me, I am not the only one who is thinking that.
Right, and that could prevent them from the haul. You know, it's sad to say because, you know, like you said, these guys play 162 games. There's what you call trauma that these players go through after their careers. And,
sure.
You know, the first thing any other normal human would get at a hospital if they were going through any type of rehab is some type of steroid to help them in their recovery. And but Major League Baseball, for some reason, it's not accepted, and I don't know why. I really think
reasons. I'm going to give you the best reason. Here's the best reason, and it comes from the late, great Ralph Kiner, who did some research when steroids was really hitting, and he basically said the most underreported part about steroids, and it showed up really when you saw Barry Bonds hit, was it increased your vision. He had a few guys that backed that up and said your vision got better, and if you remember, you couldn't strike out Barry Bonds. You couldn't get a ball past him.
But what's wrong with having great vision? You know, it's like, what is wrong with having
Because you weren't
good?
Born with it. That's why. Because you weren't born with
no,
it.
No, no,
these
no.
guys were born.
Same thing with
listen,
contacts. I mean, you're not born these, with contact.
These guys were
Most
born to be major leaguers.
Contact.
They were born to be
no,
major
no.
leaguers, but the problem is that they should stick with what they were born with and train like every way they could train and be as good as they can be. But at the end of the day, this is a problem.
Russ, steroids have been proven, and they're used by every hospital to treat every American when they go in a rehab, except for a major league player who needs it every single day.
For a short time.
I don't know. I would rather ban tobacco. Listen, I think tobacco should be banned. I think that needs to be on the substance thing. The chewing tobacco is way more dangerous to the health of the players, and I think I don't know the steroids. The
is that true? I don't know about that. Hold on. Kimbo Slice just turned up dead yesterday at the age of 42, and he was a known anabolic steroid user. That's just as bad as tobacco, Nico. You're just looking at it a different way because you were an athlete.
Abuse is abuse. Now something you know. Yeah, he may have definitely abused the steroid.
May have? He did.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is there's got to be some type of acceptance in the game where these players, when they recover, they're able to use anything any other American can use to help them recover, and it shouldn't be outlawed by the game.
Yeah. So basically, a website, just so you know, about Kimbo Slice, MediaTakeout.com was learning that he took an aggressive nutritional supplement and he had a regime going with his conditioning and he died of a heart attack. And so these things are dangerous, and at the end of the day, they don't need to be in the sport. These guys are great without it, but the problem is that they want to be even better, and you can't get better. You can get better that way. A steroid's not going to teach you how to hit a baseball, but a steroid's going to have you hit a baseball further. A steroid's going to help you see better. And so at the end of the day, and again, we go back. If you go back and look at some of the guys, and we wrote about this, some of the guys got contracts off of that, and fans had to pay higher ticket prices as a result. I don't think that's fair, Nico. I don't. Because especially when these guys' numbers tail off, then all of a sudden owners are stuck with the bill, and fans get stuck with the bill.
Yeah, well, are their numbers tailing off because they're not using any type of, tissue repair like they've been? Are they out of their regimen? Are they exposed? Or maybe they're just talented. They're just not as talented. And then, like I said, you're only going to be talented for a few years. And, you know, the longevity in the game is getting shorter and shorter.
It is.
So
it is, but
is
again,
it a real fall
here,
off, or is it overdose fall off?
Well, here's the problem, though. The problem is, you know, the Mickey Mantles of the world, the guys of other eras who clearly did things to hurt their careers and still put up those numbers are looked at in a more favorable light, and you can't argue that. Like, it's hard to argue that. So a lot of the players of yesteryear are mad because they didn't do this. And look, steroids have been out there for a long time. We know that.
There could be an argument that alcohol is a performance enhancement and any type.
How is that going to happen?
There could be an argument and a debate for, you know, a lot of players in the day used alcohol, and a lot of players in the day used a lot of uppers. So when you look at a lot of those numbers in the past, you could make an argument that they shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, and because of whether it be a stimulant from caffeine or whether it be a stimulant from alcohol, it's still something that's going to enhance your performance or alter your performance, and you can make an argument that actually the steroid is probably healthier than alcohol in some of the things that some of the older players used.
That may be true, but again, the sport has drawn a line, the world has drawn a line, the Olympics have drawn lines, and, you know, there are guys who are always going to try and blur the lines and always try and beat it, but at the end of the day, they've drawn the line, and the line is, this is your list, these are things you can't take. And guys still get caught.
It's getting crazy. They're always adding things on the list. Look at the tennis player.
It's not getting crazy, though. All you have to do is call. All you have to do, I mean, you have to be responsible for everything you put in your body. I don't think it's that hard. Players act like it's a really difficult thing. It's not a difficult thing. The leagues have made it very easy to call into these numbers and to basically figure out what you can and cannot take. I really get tired of hearing it. Well, I didn't know it was bad. Okay, really?
One supplement may be okay today, and then all of a sudden you're on it, and then it's illegal. But
they give
them their
warning.
But you're on it for 8 months, and then they test you, and then now it's been illegal. But it was
legal. No, but they give them fair warning. Like in tennis, they gave fair warning to Sharapova. They give fair warning, and sometimes players overlook it.
Well, sometimes once you're on a supplement, it's hard to get off a supplement,
and that's fair.
Off.
I mean, and that doesn't get brought up enough, and I think you're right about that. I think that's a fair point.
And it's in their system. It's definitely in their system.
But anyhow, let's get back to baseball. And so the Cubs lost to the Phillies yesterday. Eichhoff pitched a really good game. The Phillies are clearly on the way down, but Ryan Howard hit a homer. The Ryan Howard situation is getting a little sad, though, because he's not the starting first baseman anymore. Joseph is. And at some point, even though he'll be a guy that maybe even gets his number retired from the club, this is still a business. And at the end of the day, you've got to move on from him at some point. When do you think that's going to be? Because he's hitting 153.
It's going to be this year. Obviously, this could be his last hurrah.
Well, no, this is the last year, but, you know, is it good that he is taking playing time away from a younger player? Basically, he took Jim Thome's job back in the day, and now he's holding up another guy's job.
Well, he's got 9 home runs, so he's providing some kind of power, and that's what he's being used for, I guess, you know, and he's given some young kids that he's batting behind up, you know, some good pitches to see because he's still that little power threat. But
he's hitting 150-something. He has the lowest average, I believe, in Major League Baseball, the lowest average for, like, you know, a player with an X amount of at-bats.
Yeah, and I would say for him, he needs to start maybe checking his vision. It may be going out. Something's altered. And I think we saw Ortiz.
Well, he can't run either, but you're right. I mean, maybe that's an issue.
Yeah, I would check his vision first because maybe he's just something there. You know, this is his last year, I would think. Yeah, I'd try to get as much out of him just as the Phillies, you know, stay in contention. I'll try to get something out of him. I think
but
they're
here's
using
the thing.
Him right.
All right, but here's the argument. Ryan Howard is hitting 150. He has 9 homers. Tommy Joseph has 61 at-bats, and he has 5 homers. I can't hold this guy back.
No, he's got to be in the lineup every day. Howard's got to be that guy off the bench and, you know, and maybe give the young kid a day off, and maybe that's what they're going to do. I really love what the Phillies are putting out there every day, and I love their leadership and their manager. I think they've got a lot of energy, and they win close games. They win the 3-2 games. They beat the Cubs, you know. They're winning close games. They're getting good pitching, and they're playing good baseball. Their closer is coming in. He's got nearly almost 20 closes already.
Yeah, but like I said, things are dropping out for them because their hitting's just not going to sustain, and we all knew that would sort of be the case. There's no way around that. I mean, the hitting wasn't going to sustain for this year, and while you're building for the future, and they're building for the future, like, they literally should just cut bait with Ryan Howard before the All-Star break. It's the right thing to do for everybody. If somebody else wants to pick him up, let him pick him up, and then he could play for them. But right now, while they're trying to get better, he's holding them back. He is.
I agree.
You know, it's a tough thing. If we switch to the Cubs, the one guy that we both said would have been a great offseason pickup for, like, the Mets and a few other teams was Dexter Fowler. He's hitting .307. He's doing great. And one of the worst signings a lot of people felt like based on the money was Jason Hayward, and he's hitting .220. Did they give too much money to Jason Hayward? I think they did.
Absolutely they did. I mean, Jason Hayward, I would have never picked him up. I mean, he's somebody, he's got a great body. He reminds me of Daryl Strawberry, but
yep,
do
good
I
fielder,
see,
really
I
good do, fielder.
Do I see Daryl Strawberry, the offensive fear that Daryl Strawberry put in the hitters out of Hayward? No, never. So Hayward is way overpaid. He's not producing. He could be a weak link when the young outfielder comes back that got hurt. What's his name?
I'm not sure who you're talking about, but
the left fielder from Chicago got hurt in the first week of the season.
Oh yeah, yeah. You're talking about the catcher who switched at Kyle Schwarber.
Schwarber, yeah, they put him in the outfield.
Yeah.
So like, Hayward probably wouldn't even be playing if Schwarber was back.
Well, he's playing because he's making a boatload of money. Here's the interesting thing, okay? And this is the problem that I've always had with Jason Hayward. There was time when he was hitting a lot of homers. In his last 30 games, he has 3 homers. He has 3 homers on the season in 191 at-bats. He only has 21 RBIs, so even though he's not hitting homers, he's hitting .220, he only has 21 RBIs. He only has 27 runs scored. They're lucky that everybody else is hitting because he's killing them.
He is, and he's playing in Chicago, where he's one of the best hitting stadiums ever. So it's like
– ever.
Yeah, he's a bust, and he's surrounded by players who are having just outstanding years, and they're kind of hiding them in there, and they're hiding their mistake, and he's definitely a mistake, and he's on the radar. If they could probably trade him or move him, they're probably going to do something like that.
Yeah, if you remember, I felt like one of the best offseason free agents was going to be Ben Zobrist, and right now Ben Zobrist is hitting .321 with 7 homers and 35 RBIs. Ben Zobrist makes a fraction of the money that Jason Hayward makes.
That's scary because he is the catalyst. He is that everyday player that just comes in there every single day, scores a run, or does something to help the team move forward. I mean, he's a gamer. There's no doubt
about
it.
He's a big reason. He really is a big reason why they're doing well. And, look, I give the Cubs credit. I will also say – I don't care what their regular season record is. You know, last year when they went to the playoffs and faced the Mets, I kept hearing the Mets can't beat Jake Arrieta, the Mets can't beat the Cubs, and the Mets beat the Cubs. And so, to me, the Cubs have something to prove this year. They're gonna make the playoffs, we know it, but they're going to have to work their way through before everybody buys in and says, okay, this team's going to win. But, Nico, I want to tell everybody they should buy my Met book before Father's Day, Numbers Don't Lie, and if you have something to plug, plug it now.
Yes, happy Father's Day to every father out there. What a great game it is, the American game of baseball, and thank God for our fathers.
All right, that's going to be it for this week's The Game, and we'll catch everybody next time.
Thanks, Russ.
You know it's summer when all people want to talk about is the weather, how seasonable it is. Especially for this time of year, how incredibly mild, how typical, how it's finally come around, and how actually, now that it is here, it's all just a bit too much. We don't mind it hot, but not this hot. You also know it's summer when you can grab yourself a frozen strawberry lemonade. Tangy iced lemon mixed with a sweet strawberry swirl. $1.99 from the McCafe iced range at McDonald's. Served until the 11th of October, subject to availability. Price and participation may vary.